Yeah, it's doing its thing. It is. You're right. Look, bits of cardboard propped behind there, and I think I'm there. Yes. Don't we all?
I feel like we are. Yeah, well, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hey, do you have my volume on this time?
Of course I did. Actually, do you know what? Your volume was on. I was muted. It's always something. There's two buttons for me to push, and I screw it up. I am Roz. Joining me is my co-host, Ian. And together, with absolutely no test runs before this, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. Ah, the magic of editing. I have been looking forward. I don't even know why I look forward to these, but for as long as I've been drinking beer and enjoying craft beer, you know, specifically, I like a darker, maltier thing. We have this conversation all the time, every week, and then I don't even remember when I tried a Bock beer, like a Bock lager or different kinds of, there's a few different kinds of Bocks, but I knew this is my beer. This is the one. So as soon as, whenever I'd see one, I'd pick it up. So I've been holding on to this one from Lund's Mill. I got it from their Wolfville Market location. Yes, they have a little disc there. And I think it's been in waiting for a long time. It might be a year.
A long time.
But it's ringing in at a 7.0 for a strong beer. This is the wonderful thing about these Bocks. Maybe that's what I love, is strong beers. So I'm sure it'll be fine. It's a strong lager at the bottom. But Bocks! And I did a little bit of looking up on Bocks. So a Bock is a strong German beer. I'm not sure what Bock means in German. Is it just a word?
Beer? It's the best I can do with that.
Okay. Yeah.
Bock in German.
Bock in German. Well, I'm just going to... Okay. Translate Bock from German. Desire. So there you go.
Really? Bock? It's desire.
It's a desire. This is a desire beer. Now I want to check all the other ones, because the different subtypes of Bocks, the famous, the biggest ones are a Maybock, which is a paler, more hopped version, which we do have a Maybock here, and then a Doppelbock, which is known as the Double Desire, a stronger and maltier version. Now there are other, the Weizenbock sounds good, a Wheatbock. So I don't think that's literally supposed to mean desire. That can't be right, can it? I mean, you desire beer, but that just happens organically, right?
Yeah. The Festerbock and the Maybock are the two Holsteinbock that are available in the NSLC's year-round, and they're both good.
Would you believe that if I'd continued reading for another, seven or eight words, I would have learned what's actually going on? And it does explain right here on the Not Your Bock Maybock from Lund's Mill Brewing Company why there is a giant goat head on it. Because the style was first brewed in Lower Saxony. It was adopted in Bavaria by Munich brewers due to their Bavarian accent. Citizens of Munich pronounced Einbeck, which was the town it's from. So Einbeck as Einbock, billy goat. So it's not desire, it's a goat. What? Google Translate had that completely wrong. Bock is desire, but if I put Ein in front of it, Einbock, a buck, which is, I guess, a goat. So that's why there's a big goat in the front, because it's a goat, because someone pronounced things differently. We're learning all sorts of stuff. Oh, wait until I tell you.
Well, hang on then. Then Beck's, the very famous beer Beck's, is that goats? I know that Germans don't say, they don't put a plural, they don't put an S on the end to make something plural. We do that, but they don't. They normally put in or Becken or something.
It says it's a brewery in the northern German city of Bremen. But Bremen. Breck for something, right. Something. Doesn't quite say anything more about that. It's less about goats, I think, than the Bock style, despite the fact that the Bock style isn't about goats at all. Regardless.
No.
It is a strong beer. It's often the maltier one. The Maybach is probably still a malty enough beer for me, and it's a very strong beer. I like all of these things, so I've been looking forward to this one for a while. The one from Lund's Mill, we've had it there. And it was just hard to compare it with something because there weren't many other Bocks. There is the Maple Bock that's up in Sea Level that someone actually reminded me of today when I posted in the Maritime Craft Brew Appreciation Facebook page. But there is also one out of Tatamagush Brewing Company that I remember trying, and I remember not being very impressed with it, but I can't remember the name of it right now, and I can't be bothered looking it up, because what about these ones right now? Because the Hilltop Hops Brewhouse, they every time I'd go in, I'd say, hey, you know, I'm trying to see what else is here, and they said, oh, we've got a Bock coming out soon, and that was March, and finally it was in the can, so I could try it. So I am excited about this one. I left them not in the fridge. Did yours get cold?
Mine have been in the fridge forever, since you gave me them. But I took them out when I suddenly realized what we were doing today, because Tuesday, I don't know, it just kind of went under my radar a little bit until I said, what are we doing? And then you told me. I took them immediately out, but I've had them in the fridge now for a good 40, 45 minutes. So they have cooled down. It's a lager-ish experience. I know it's a bloody strong one, but therefore I've cooled them off, my friends. So they are cooler than I would have you traditionally have my ales. These are not as cold as 4 degrees, but they're certainly chilled.
Do you know
I'm looking for
the other thing that I did today, and in fact I did it last week as well, is I took the cans upstairs and I washed off the, because sometimes when I open them I think, oh, there's like spiders' eggs and mud and dirt and grit, and yes, you've got some of this stuff.
And I didn't.
You've also accused me when I say it tastes a little soapy. You say, are your glasses clean? And I think, kinda. So I also rinsed out. So I've rinsed my glasses. I've rinsed the can tops. I have no excuses for it potentially tasting like soap or spider's eggs. We'll see what happens. I'm ready to crack this. And it feels a little firm. Is this going to make an enormous
firm,
mess?
You say.
Am I ready for this?
I'm outside, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I can just pour
fine.
It over the ground.
But it
does feel really full, doesn't it? There doesn't seem to be any air in there whatsoever.
No, and I'm hoping it's not air. Hopefully it's just the thing. So, all right, let's give this a whirl. Going. Oh, God.
No, it's fine.
No, mine went everywhere.
Yours didn't. Okay.
Mine. It opened, and I had 2 seconds of, oh, that's going to be fine. And then everything went poorly.
Well, you could sue them. That should be as a warning on the cap. Quite clearly.
This reminds me.
You could sue them. Portion contents may be under
extreme.
The time
has happened with James and I and the Donair beer. Oh,
yeah,
dear.
I remember that. You remember that?
I mean, if everything smells like a Maybach for a short period of time, I'm probably going to be just fine with that. But yep,
it's very, very.
It's
got
golden.
A big foam on it. I'll tell you that.
Yas, all over.
This is going to be good. This smells like Beer Fest in Germany.
It does smell very nice. I mean, it smells like a very
fragrant. It's actually floral smelling,
yes,
a little bit.
I am liking that. It's quite good. It's quite good. Now, the head on mine is very foamy. I'm getting quite a lot of pesky foam out of this one. So, the good news there is I get to tell you about my weekend.
That's why you did it.
Yeah, I finally get to have a story. You told me about this event. This was the Science of Beer happening down in Halifax at the Discovery Center. So I invited other friends. You know, Tom has been on the show. James has been on the show. I told everyone what I was doing, and they all, there was radio silence. And then eventually when I said, hey, and I'm heading out tonight, and they said, oh, where to? I was like, never mind. Can't be bothered. But I went all by my onesies, but I took some of our brand new business cards of our Drink NS Dry. There's a couple of examples of it just the right there to give out. And I did see some brewers that I'd seen before. Matt, who I've met down here at Wayfarers, he was there. And there's a number of other people that I met for the first time. There's a new place called Brew HQ. It was one of the first ones that I found. Actually, no, I found Big Spruce upstairs because Steven, our friend Steven, who's been on the show, Steven Heitzler, was there. And so he gave me a nice sampling of Serial Killer, which begun my evening off in the best way possible.
I know. Yeah.
And then he let slip that he was the one, because they had seminars at this night, the Science of Beer seminars. So he was doing the seminar on the history of beer. And sold. I'm definitely going to that. So I went to go listen to his half-hour talk on the entire history of beer. And I learned... I learned quite a few. I wondered about that. I was thinking about it. I said, do people video this kind of thing? Like, I mean, it's not good to it in a TED Talk or a...
Just for you and me, I mean. So I would like to see it. Yeah. But there again, you had to pay for it, so you should get all the benefits of it. I shouldn't have to just.
I'm going to tell you all the good stories, the good bits of the history of beer. Anyway, my favorite takeaway from the entirety of the history of beer was back in the 1100s. Beer has been being crafted and created since 3000 BC, when they left barley out and they accidentally noticed that it got soppy and then it was delicious and it made them all drunk. No one understood why. Because it wasn't until the mid-19th centuries, the 1850s, when Louis Pasteur discovered yeast and the properties of yeast. That's how recent that part is. So for 4,500 years, you were just making beer going, well, how does it happen? No one understood yeast. So it just wasn't a thing. So then in the 1100s, the people primarily responsible for making beer were women, because it was agriculture, it was food, it was kitchen stuff. It was all the women made the beer. And this was back when you all wore like different, you know, you had to show that you were of a different trade. So if you were the tradesman or in charge of brewing, you were an alewife. And I liked that. Learning the title, you are an alewife if you are one of the women who makes the beer. And then at a certain point, the men all said, wait a minute, the women are making an awful lot of money off of this. And I know it's women's work, but they're getting rich. So we need to change the dynamic here. And we need to tell everyone that men should be making it and they should be buying our beer and women should no longer make it. So what did they do? They decided to upon a smear campaign and just basically crapping on everything that the alewives were doing. So what do you point out? Well, the alewives, they have too many cats around them, because there's cats that keep the mice out of the barley in the brew houses. Mm. So, these alewives, they have too many cats. That's weird. Too weird. Oh, and because they're keeping away all the rats, none of them died from plague. That's way too weird. That's almost supernatural. You don't want to trust those women, those particular women. What other things did they wear? Well, the alewives, to be recognized at their trade, they'd wear a tall, pointy hat. So a tall, pointy hat woman with a cat and did not die during the plague. Supernatural is unnatural. She's definitely a witch. Get rid of them all.
Oh my God, yes.
Creation and taboo of witches was invented because men wanted to steal the crafting of beer.
You are joking. No. Witches were born out of men stealing the craft of beer from women.
Yes.
That is bananas.
And how big is the... And I don't want to say the witch industry or the witch costume, but just the story, the fame, the everything behind the story of witch. I mean, we've got the Wicked Witch of the West. You say witch anywhere on the planet and everyone knows what you're talking about. And it all came back from there. I was sitting there just melting into just a school child, you know, kicking my feet too small for my chair, saying, more, teach me fractions. This is amazing.
I thought when you said you were sitting there melting, you were making a Wizard of Oz witch reference.
I melted. I should have said that while I was in there, but no, I was my jaw was to the floor. I was like, "That is, I love bits of history that kind of go that way." So that was my favorite takeaway, especially from the history thing. Now I went around and I talked to a bunch of other people. And I'll tell you about my talking to other people, because first we've got this Maybach from Lund's Mill. I think I've described it in a bright yellow can.
Yeah.
It is a 7.0% alcohol and doesn't say anything on the can, but I've looked it up on lundsmill.beer, the online store, and here is the description for it. Malty sweetness, slightly spicy and strong. This ain't your Opa's Bock, it's Maybach. Our take on the classic German beer has been lagered to perfection, has a golden hue, clear, crisp, crushable.
You may just have heard a very quiet mmm coming from next to me as Rebecca sat down and swigged it.
Oh.
So she got it before I did, but it sounds good.
Jeez.
Because she had no idea. She just came from indoors to alfresco land, and it got a positive from her. I thought, this is going to be good.
We have a system. We drink at the same time. She can't be skirting the entire pageantry of the entire thing.
We are drinking at the same time, you and I.
Mm. Oh, okay. So anyway, cheers.
Frost.
Crushable 7%. We'll see.
We can't drink out of the same glass at the same time.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Yeah, the black...
Malty sweetness.
Yep. I was getting sweet straight away. Mm-hmm. I almost thought, is that honey? Oh. But then the honey didn't last for me. But when I was going up my nose, I thought, my God, is that honey? But no, actually...
It comes back. The honey comes back in the back of the teeth. There it is.
Yes.
But it's honey there. Slightly spicy, yes. A little bit of strong. Ooh. Lager to perfection. Golden hue. Clear. Crisp. It's somehow crisp. Mine's nearly room temperature, and this is delicious.
Hey, Ross, straight off the bat, we've got this habit of dragging out ancient beers from the back of the fridge, like you said, with spiders and cobwebs on them, and then finding out they're no longer even brewing it. Please tell me that isn't the case with this.
It does happen every now and then. No, it has not happened here, because this has been back there for a while, but it is outstanding. This is amazing. And like I said,
they still brew this, right?
Oh,
this
yeah.
It's still on sale.
It's still in the online store. Oh, that's what you meant. Sorry. Not the flavor, but the availability. Yes, both of these are available right now. You can get Bock. You can even get a Bock up at sea level. I'm not sure if Tatamagush has their Bock on right now. I might check. Hang on. Tatamagush Bock. History of... Oh, Tatamagush. Brewing Bock beer. No, they might not have their Bock right now. When did we try that? It was a while ago. Yeah.
This is wow,
very, very good.
I was reading the can on the back.
Yep,
and I could have sworn I wasn't reading. It's in a really unusual font.
Mm.
It's kind of medieval font is the best way I can describe it. And the middle word, because it says pale, I could figure that out. And then spicy, and I thought, what's that? Grognu? And it took me a long while to figure out. It's grainy. That's what it's saying.
Pale, grainy, spicy.
Grainy. That's an interesting description.
Well,
grainy.
And that's curious, because it says it's clear, and it's... No, it looks delightfully unfiltered. So they're not messing around. They've left all the good bits in there for you.
Clear is a, to me, straightforward, is a lager is clear. One of those traditional, so you can see straight through the damn thing. You see the bubbles. You can't see a damn thing in that. It's as cloudy as the bottom of a muddy puddle.
If that's its only bad mark against it, then I'm definitely happy to be drinking this. It's like, oh, it's not crystal clear and lagered to perfection. Yep. Well, I don't care. Stop. This is so good. That's, the sweet and the malty is the predominant taste, but they're very well balanced up front. And it is smooth? Oh, talk about smooth. I was expecting, being a Maybach, them saying a Maybach is often more hoppier. No, not this one. Not this one. It's not a
really malty.
Not even a taste of. Oh yeah, it's a bit of a hoppy. I couldn't even tell you what kind of hop might have been in there.
You know, you sometimes say it's bready again.
It is definitely bready. That is true.
Oh my goodness, this is so creamy. It's a creamy, bready, malty, slightly sweet, full of flavor. Even burping is nice. That's a nice image for you. Very nice.
Do you want... it's a bit... And I don't want to say it's light in flavor. It's light in color, and it tastes a little light in color. Do I want this a bit darker? You know, would I say, oh, give me a bock? And this is... It's the lightest bock I think we've had. No, the maple bock from Sea Level is pretty light in color as well. But it's not... It's not flavorful like this one is. So it's light, and it's disappointing light. This is just light in color, but oh, it's... This tastes more like a Scotch ale, like a wee heavy type thing.
Okay, I'm not getting that so much. It's slightly florally sweet. It's surprisingly easy to drink at 7%. Did you say it was crushable? Did they say it was crushable?
They said a crushable 7% beer.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Really dangerous.
I agreed until I got here, and then something said, slow down. Because I was, this is delicious. More. And then you get down with a little bit left, and my stomach is now sort of saying, that was...
It's filling.
You've just stuffed me with two English muffins soaked in whiskey. What is going on?
You could probably crush one or two of them, but beyond that, you ain't crushing them. It's really, you're really filling yourself up. This is a full up experience. It is like a loaf of bread. It's perfectly delicious. I'm really going to enjoy it, but I ain't going to have too many of them because it's going to fill up very quickly.
You crush it, but I'm not sure if you're asking for a second.
That's fair.
And then if you crush the server comes along and says, will you have another? I think I'd sit there and say, give me a minute. Hang on.
Give me a glass of water.
Hang on a minute. I'll be a second. I'd like to go high eights, low nines for that. Maybe a 9.1. Higher than an 8.9.
I do drink quite regularly, I have to say.
No.
The box, the Holsten. I don't mean in general. Knew that. But I do drink the Holsten Maybock and the Festbock quite regularly. I do like them. They're both 7%, and they're both like all year round available in the NSLC. That's not to say I don't mix them up with other things, but I do find myself grabbing a couple of those off the shelf a fair bit. For some reason, the Maybock has changed. It seems to have changed its recipe recently because it certainly tastes a little different. But I really enjoy both of those. And I know that is a mass produced. Holsten is a massive brewery. I know that. This is a micro brewery. I'm pitting this up against those two bocks because I'm so familiar with them. And I want to do that a lot with stouts when I go, hey, look, I drink so much Guinness, I'm going to pitch this against Guinness because it's a good standard Guinness. And if I'm counting bocks as those two mass-produced ones that Holsten does, this is every bit as good and actually better than both of those. And those are full of flavor. This is a craft brewed local German style bock, and it is bloody marvelous. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have much more of it, is what I'll say.
No, probably not.
Quite delicious.
It's big, and I'm kind of also quite relieved that the second can is a smaller can, so we're not having two 8% tall boy. Who would do that on triple IPA night other than us?
Triples. You gave this what did you what did you I'm, did you give this a 9 or something?
Yeah, 9.1.
Just a little, crazy.
A little higher than a 9. Because one of those, the best of that style I think I've ever had.
It's crushable. That's what it does. Everything that it says on the can. It is perfectly delicious, sweet, bready, malty. Oh, I love beer like this. I really do. But I'm not drinking much of it.
Unless it's Christmas Eve or something, I might push the... I would give this a 9 as well. It's fabulous beer.
Second one of these as well, please. Thank you.
I'm really pleased that they brew this all year round. That's really good to hear.
Yeah, that's the other good news, honestly. But I have left the wee swig at the bottom.
Me too.
You've got the wee swig. But next, heading over. So not definitely not a big ugly goat on the can. These are the Hilltop Hops Brewhouse, and they're white cans. And the only difference being the font is in a different color. Proudly crafted in Brooklyn, Hants County, Nova Scotia, with locally grown hops. Hilltop Hops. There's a lot of farm agricultural land up there. But this is the Doppler. Doppelbock strong beer, 8.2% in a 355 can. Thank you very much for not pushing too much of that on us. And where did I have to go for that? I went to an old Facebook post a couple of years ago when they brought out the Doppler. So every now and then they bring out the Doppler because I think they run out, and then he makes some more, and then they run out and he makes some more. So, and sadly, all I've got is the Doppler. A Doppelbock is full of body and rich maltiness. That's all we get.
Like me.
That's all we get. Full of, you're full of body?
Rich in what? No, I'm full of body, absolutely.
Rich in mind, sound of body.
8.2%, Ross.
8.2%.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 355. I'm quite happy to drink stronger beers in 500 or 473s. Yeah. From time to time, but I don't know what to say. I'm already feeling the bock. I'm already feeling it in my head. I feel that I am slightly slurring my words already. I'm glad I'm not out at your place and having to drive back. I wouldn't drive back after your place, but it's nice sitting out in the yard here. Not thinking about driving anywhere.
The number of people who give me slightly confused looks when I say that we do this via video chat so they don't have to leave their house, they all say, oh, you don't want to come down to our brew house and do this? No, I want to drink two beers in the comfort of my own home and not be on the highways. That's precisely what I want to do.
Well, the problem, of course, when we have been on location, look at the difference of that. We've been on a location and done that at craft breweries, and you really have to watch. You're like, oh yeah, I'll take a snifter of that, and I'll take a snifter of this. And then when you get to the point where you're like, I love this beer so much, and you can't have much
and
of it.
I can finish my 4 ounce glass of this one. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. This one's pouring clear. It's pouring clear. Got a lovely head on it, but it's a bit more coppery orange, kind of cooler to it. But
quite different.
I get to wait for me foam to go down again a little bit more. So I'll tell you the second half of my story. And once I had left the science of beer, I decided to go to the seminar early so I could then sample some beers. You were given 10 tickets and I went around. And honestly, the samples were almost all things I'd had before. I was kind of hoping to go in and say, I hope they have their craziness here tonight. But some of the most exciting stuff there was they had the Good Robot was there, and they had the El Diablo. So that was probably one of the craziest things that was available. What did I try? I tried something from Sober Island that I'd not had before. It was something like a fest beer, like an IPA. And it basically just tasted like a hoppy lager. It was fine. But when I got to Sober Island, I got to wax poetic about the fact that all four of the basic tenets of the four Sober Island brews in DLC and around were all four of my favorites. So the IPA, the Marigold Blonde, I always tell, the Beth's Black Stout, and the Beachstone Bitter, all Trays Bond. So I got to talk to the brewer, Tim, young man Tim. And I'm standing there, and I had to think long and hard about what to wear, how to dress myself, because I wanted to go full-on personality, pizzazz. I was going to wear the jacket that you got me and just be right up in everyone's face. And then I thought, maybe I should tone it down. I wore like a kind of a bright shirt, but over top, and I wore the corduroy jacket that you also got me. And then I just calmed down, but I wore my pink glasses which I got compliments on going in, so that felt good.
I didn't get you the glasses.
You did not get me the pink glasses. No.
I did.
But I was talking to people, so I went for approachable looking but memorable. Like, remember that guy who had pink glasses? You know, just that kind of little thing that was just a little bit out of reach. But when I introduced myself to Tim at Sober Island, I said, "Oh, hey, I'm Ross. I wanted to talk to you about things." And he said, "Oh, the podcast guy." And I went,
"No."
I think I might have squealed in a high-pitched voice. I might have gotten very excited about it. I was recognized by more than one person, and one of them was a brewer. And so I talked to a few other people, and then another guy approached me and walked up, and he said, I just subscribed to your YouTube videos. You guys really like it, that double IPA? Because this was one from like a year ago. I'm so far behind. Apologize to everybody. But I was approached by more than one person. Now, the bonus for most of the brewers were, for a lot of them, I had just reached out. I just emailed them in the last month or two. I said, "Oh, I emailed you recently about this." And so that's probably why Tim said, "Oh, yeah, the podcast guy." And everyone says, we've been busy brewing and we're going through marketers and we haven't checked all of our email. I'm like, I know. I get it. You don't respond to everything unless it's like a real reason. But and partly the reason why I added the Instagram account, because apparently people respond to Instagram way faster than anything else. Right. That's the way that everyone likes to communicate. And so I found some guys on the second. I went back down after my seminar, and there was Brew HQ. They're down in the city as well. But what they are an on-site brewmaker. So you could come in, pick your stuff, say, "I want to make this one." And then you mash it right there on premises, and then it keeps, and then you bottle it and you take the bottles home. So it is a brewing location for your, I'll try to make a this. So you're making beer, but not in the comfort of your own home if you don't have comfort or home.
Well, they're doing what many of the home brewing stores. I mean, let's take Noble Grape around here as a perfect example. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the facility to do it, and most of us don't these days, and of course they've got optimum fermentation conditions. You know, you don't have to.
Well, it's all if controlled it's and everything. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So clearly you have to pay a little extra for it. So it's not quite as cheap as it would be to brew your own right from home. But they've got all the facilities, which means all that messing around with sterilizing your equipment and 50 bottles in your bathtub, as I did for years, stuck them on the really hot cycle in the dishwasher, which doesn't help the dishwasher very much. All those things are taken right out of the equation, and you can do it right there.
Yes.
And they can take it. And you basically just pitch your yeast at the beginning of the primary fermentation part, Ross, mm-hmm. And they make you sign on a dotted line, and they say, "Give me X amount of dollars, please, and then we'll see you in a month."
In a little bit of time. And the buckets all ferment over there. So I talked to a nice guy named Michael. In fact, it was part of the video that I put up. I'm not sure if you watched my attempts at doing the social media. Here I am on location, and I've learned that I'm terrible at it. But I did accost this poor guy, my really nice guy, and he did well with me because basically I called him out for not being able to sell their beers because BrewHQ, they had just made a batch and they were going to bring them up, but they didn't get their liquor license to be able to offer it there. But they listed what they had. And they had an old English ale, and then next to it they had and a peculiar. And I went, "Oh, you've got an old English ale and a peculiar, and I can't drink it?" Because everyone else just had, "We've got our brand new light IPA at 2.5%. I think the only good thing about IPAs is that they're strong, so that you don't need to have too many of them. What if you did? Oh, uh-huh. Set up a session. So apparently light IPAs are really coming in right now. Regardless. Okay. Moving on from Brew HQ, another place that I reached out to recently is called Kuva Labs, KHUVA. And Kuva Labs, they are doing something where they're not brewing anything, but they're getting you to sample beers. But you do it, it's the blindfold test that we've talked of. Rebecca's talked about this a number of times. Could you, if you didn't know what this was and you drank it, could you identify it?
Yeah.
And so everything was in a black can, a jet black. They covered them all up, and you had to pick between A and H or J. I think there were seven. Yeah. And they pour you a little tiny bit. And, oh, try this. And you would load up an app to pick. And, yep. and it gave you four options as to what they were. And you're like, well, I don't think it's that. I think it's a this. I think it's this. And I got...
Styles of beer, Ross. Let me interrupt. So it was styles of bar beer. Were they quite distinct from one another? Or because as we've said, pale ales, pilsners, kolsches, yep. lager, the lines have definitely blurred.
I'll tell you it's the one that annoyed me the most. It was a brown. No, was it? There was a brown ale, but one of the options was brown lager.
Oh, for God's sake! Yeah.
Come on! So I actually felt pretty proud of myself for getting 3 out of 7 correct.
Good for you, so
that's,
man.
That's a failing grade at a middle school math test, but it's not a bad batting average. I think that's perfectly fine.
Were there any stouts?
I think Beth's Black was out. So I did have the Serial Killer Stout was the one I had. Of course. Wayfarers had brought their Muddy Bog Stout. In fact, Muddy Bog Stout, you know, because we like the new recipe... But Muddy Bog Stout was one of the ones I got wrong because I tried it and I'm convinced it was the old can. It was the old recipe because I tried it and went, ew, what is this? This is like a dark lager because dark lager was one of them. I said, it's not a stout. That's a dark lager because it's so light and wrong. This is the Muddy Bog Stout. I said, oh my God, I love them. Oh. I was a little disappointed. The long and the short is I introduced myself to Kuva Labs, to Brew HQ, to Sober Island, to who else did I introduce myself to? I didn't get a chance to congratulate Tad and Magush on their 20th anniversary. There's so much going on right now. In fact, you brought up, we need to get to that, the new brewery that was just announced in the last day or two, right here in Port Williams. We'll get to that in a second. But first, the Doppler, Doppelbock, 8.2%. Y'all set. The head's gone down on this one. It's very...
Opera, you said it. It's Auburn. It's a completely different visual experience to the other one. I mean, look at it. It's totally, totally different.
The other one's still hazy. That's impressive.
What does it smell like? It doesn't smell dissimilar.
No.
It doesn't smell massively dissimilar. The other one's a little more floral, even with a couple of fingers left. This is...
A little strong.
I'll tell you what, it smells like beer or something.
Yeah, kind of does. Right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh.
My gosh.
Oh, that's not so fair. Oh. That just melts. Yeah, I know it's a liquid, but that melts in your mouth. And there's sort of the... Oh, you know how the sweetness was kind of up in the upper teeth on the Maybach? The Doppelbock, it's down, it's like a caramel.
Thank you. I was about to say are you getting caramel? And you took the words right out. Totally.
Oh, and it's there in the lower part of your palate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When they said, yeah, we brewed some, but we're out, so we got to brew more. I get it. Wow. Everyone's got to be. Is it listed behind us here? New Porter, Heidelboer. I don't see it on there, but this is a picture from a few years ago, so they might not have had it out yet. Mm. Fuzzy.
This is. Oh, I can't see what that is. Box, man. It's where it's at.
I'm telling you. I'm so happy. I feel like the last two box I had, and I hate to say the maple box out of sea level. Maybe it's better. I got to go try it again. We got to talk to. Nicole and Joe.
Well, that's funny that you're just mentioning sea level, because I was thinking to myself, of course, when you were just mentioning that new brewery that's opening up there in the Port Park.
There's the segue. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably about 8 yards from where the other one just sort of shut down and moved up the up 221 up there, whatever it is.
So
it's nice to have two back in there.
The Port Pub was a pub, and the Sea Level Brewing became attached to it, and there was a shop out the front that you could go and buy Sea Level beer in, and then, I don't know, whatever happened, Port Pub or Sea Level Brewing, the guy was kind of, I'm done making beer, screw this, and he sold it, but he sold it to the people that were growing all the crops to go with the beer, all the grain, all the hops, so it's on a farm. And to my mind, the Millstone Harvest Brewhouse, which is now where Sea Level is being made, it's the only estate brewery in the province, as far as I know, which means that the ingredients for their beer, over 80% or 84% of it is grown on their property.
Do they not do the same thing at Meander River, the other side of Windsor? I don't know why I'm thinking that, but possibly.
Maybe. And again, okay. This is all coming down to kind of just what I know. You meant to go into Meander River, and I don't remember if you did.
It's one of those things. It's on my bucket list, and they are only open at sort of 2 or 3 days a week, and I'm looking for a nice day to do it when I'm not working, and it hasn't yet worked out. But this year, this summer, hopefully that's going to come to fruition, because it's only 45, 50 minutes away.
It's pretty close, but I think I'm starting to realize why I haven't been there. Would you like hours? Are you ready for the hours of Meander River?
It's tough, isn't it?
Friday, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 4.
Yeah.
That is 3 4-hour days.
Yeah, it's tough to get a little window there when I'm not working and the weather's decent. Because I don't know why. I like going on road trips. Like I say, it's under an hour. It's not hardly a road trip. I could run it. But the fact is, I just like going on a nice sunny day. And the old idea, I mean, to me, it sounds idyllic. I've seen pictures of it. I get this image of turning up there, a meandering river, sitting out there in a beautiful little... a little like that place that you shared photographs of, that you went there with Brittany a little while ago, in the little shed in this idyllic grassy area. And only a couple of weeks ago you were showing me pictures of it. Is it down Digby Way or an Appas Royal Way? I don't know. And it looks so beautiful, this little craft brewery. And I want to go there. You know what I'm getting at now. Yeah,
I love the little ones. It is true. I love little small places.
I
want to
do that.
Postage stamp. Okay. Well, we'll check into that. I think we're getting off topic somehow. I don't know how that's occurring, but we're getting off topic.
I don't know how.
They better have some Bocks on. But these two, this one, the Doppelbock and the Maybock. These two, are the reason that I think Bock is my beer. Now, I was prepared to say, you know what, black IPA. I can do a black IPA. And then, you know, stout's always going to be a nice soft spot for stouts, but things go wrong. Bocks, this is what I want. Every time we have a stout, I always say, it's not strong enough, because stouts are often too weak. Black IPAs, it's kind of malty, but I could use a bit more sweet or a tiny bit more malt. And a Bock, this is...
Have you found your go-to beer? Because if you have, mate, I don't think there's any Bocks that are under sort of 6 or 7%.
I'm fine with that. My other favorite, my birthday last year, I went out and got myself 6 Butcher Block Reds from Tatamagush, because I love that beer. Because that beer, it's the closest thing to a Bock without being a Bock. It's a 6.6 malty spicy red ale, and it looks just like this, but it's delicious. I'm gonna go and get I want more cans. I'm gonna fill a growler with this stuff. Can you imagine a growler of 8.2 Doppelbock from Hilltop? Whoops, I think I've got one of their growlers in the closet there. Actually,
we have a dilemma, an obvious dilemma, a dilemma. Does dilemma have an N in it or not? It's one of those words where, for some reason, in my mind, I think, is it dilemma or dilemma with a double M? I don't know why.
Double M. It is definitely double M. It's just one of those, rose-colored glasses where you look back and, what are those things called?
Sort of urban myth kind of thing going on. They are both so good. They're different. They're completely different colors. They've got different properties, different tastes, different flavors. They're both sweet in their own way.
And
but they are
Maybock is different than Anne Doppelbock. So it's a little bit of a...
Yeah. They've both got a bite to them as well. They're like when you go, there's a bit of something going on there.
Well, this is why for the Maybock, I gave it a 9.1 because I think it's supposed to taste hoppier than that. If I'm reading about what a Maybock is supposed to taste like, it's supposed to be the hoppier of the two, and no hops in that. I appreciated that, but I think it's supposed to have, you know, going back to the Canadian Brewing Awards. If it was up for a Canadian Brewing Award, for a Maybach, it would probably have very strict. This must have a hop bite, an edge to it somewhere. And this is how I try to objectively drink all of these ones. We try to learn what the style is, and then judge it accordingly based on that. Learning about the Doppelbock, this sucker's higher nines, I feel. This is,
I think it is.
So little wrong with this. I don't know what's happening, but it's so good.
I just made the mortal mistake of having 3 or 4 peanuts while I was still had the flavor of the caramel. And so I've got to take me water and get rid of the peanut flavor, because I don't want to water down or change the taste of this beer at all.
You have never tried to wash down the peanuts before. I feel like this is a new thing.
No, I don't want to taint the flavor of this beer whatsoever. It is quite beautiful.
My point is, you've been happy to taint things with peanuts before. Just, you know, in general,
sometimes
beers, sometimes parking spaces, Taylor Swift songs.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I actually did it to improve the taste of the beer by throwing some peanuts in.
That's true.
This is not that case. They happen to be there, and I've got a thing for peanuts. Ross. This is a fabulous beer.
I am tasting the heaviness of the strength. But,
waxing lyrical. That's the best I can say. Oh, this is fabulous beer. If I'm at a beer fest and I'm standing there with you, I just assume, I'm just imagining that you and I are standing there, two middle-aged, boring men, and talking to other middle-aged, boring, beardy men.
We are the two most exciting people at a beer festival, let me tell you that. We definitely are. Oh, I was entertaining and loquacious as all get out at this event on Saturday. I was making friends left, right, and center. Everyone wanted to come and hear me talk. And I wasn't even being, I didn't have my critique hat on. I was just trying stuff and going, huh? And that was about as much as everyone was getting out of me. I was just kind of, yep, that's beer.
Maybe with hindsight, you should have gone for the Don Cherry jacket rather than the reserved English country gentleman, or Scottish, beg your pardon, gentleman about town. I don't know.
I had business cards and pink glasses. I felt I was going big enough.
Yeah, maybe. I'm giving this all. No beer gets a 10, but it's bloody close to it. It's really marvellous.
I think this might... Am I happy with a 9.55? Not quite a 9.6, but a 9... Over a 9.5. 9.55.
Is a bit unfair on the Maybach, but from...
But it's not, because that's Lawrence. A 9.1 for a Maybach, because a Maybach is supposed to have a bit more hop to it.
Well, that's the thing. Again, I was thinking of that while I was prattling away there at 10 to the dozen. You used to, and you typically you would say, for this style of beer, I'm giving it a blah, blah, blah. But you've just nailed your colors to the mast, very firmly to the mast on the box, saying that they might be now your beer. Now, if that's being the case, then this is, to me then, by the sounds of things, that's what you think you want from your beer. And therefore, you might have to say that that's the perfect beer for you.
I definitely want a Doppelbock over a Maybach. I am curious about this Weitbach, and for a while I was listening to this guy who was online, and he was always talking about this thing that he would always pick up called the Superbock. But I think Superbock is a brand of beer that you get in Ontario. Look at this, from Portugal.
In the world.
Oh my god, it's 14.
I'm lighting the camera.
It's $14 for a 330-milliliter bottle.
Jeepers. What is it? $14 for a little can or a little
for
bottle?
For one of these in glass. And do you think that affects the percentage? What percentage do you think that would be if it was $14 for a 350-milliliter? Wild guess on alcohol percentage on that one.
Well, and this one, of course,
you're wrong. You're so 8.2.
I am. No, let me go. Let me have a go.
You're already wrong.
This is 8.2, and it's, I don't know, what's this, $5? $5.50 for a little 355?
If I remember correctly, yep.
I can't do simple math to this, because that's not how beer works. We know that. It's not like, it's, no. What do you say it cost? $14.
So
it's
approximately
getting on for three times the price. But there again, Ross, I hearken back to my Peter Gabriel concert, where a $17.50 for a Coors Light,
yep,
or whatever it was.
True.
So it's not to do with the quality of the beer. I'm going to say it's 12%.
I don't think you're going to believe me.
Okay, is it 22?
No.
It's 4.
5.
5. Okay,
5.2. 5.2%. Is there, like, an X-ray secret decoder ring at the bottom of the bottle? Is there a prize or something? What is a 5.2% beer
in a
350-milliliter glass bottle going for $14?
Right, okay, so it's going the same way as... Remember we looked up the reason why the shilling was the shilling was given to the strength of beers in the UK.
Yes.
50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they still use them now in certain breweries in Scotland, which is great, which is wonderful. And I'll be having a couple of those myself in a week and a half's time. I'm looking forward to it. Where traditionally, a higher strength of the beer would cost you more money. Traditionally, we're going back. You were going to give me the history of beers there earlier on. That's what used to happen hundreds of years ago in ye olde Scotland. So you would imagine that it would be the same now, that the strength of an alcoholic beverage would be somewhat equivalent to how much it would cost.
Have a look at these prices behind me. Look here are the 5.5s and the 4.7s and the 5.2s. These are all $6.50 a pint. And then you get up, okay, here's the Hopstorm IPA. It's 7.0. So that's $7.50 a pint. So some of them go up based on percentage. The Red Tail Ale is more expensive, and I don't understand why. But like the 6.0, the 7.0, anything over a 5.5. So up to 5.5%, $6.50. Above 5.5%, $7.50. Just, you know, flat numbers. Yep. And that seems to be the case. This is one brewery and one set of beers, but you accept that. So why suddenly we've got Bock's coming in at 8.2%, and this might have been like a 50 cents more expensive than some of the other ones that they had going on there. But then all of a sudden, like, what is... I want to call up Ontario. I'm calling, what's his face? Not Doug Ford, the other one. Peter? Henry.
Henry Ford.
I'm calling up Henry Ford, the Premier of Ontario, and I'm saying, yo, what up? Why is this so-called Superbock at 5.2% alcohol by volume coming in at $14 for a small 350-milliliter bottle? And he's going to tell me... I've been dead for maybe 65 years, and also I hate Walt Disney with a passion. It's going to be an awkward conversation, I'll tell you that. It's going to all go through a Ouija board.
Maybe it's a limited edition. If they do a really small batch of something and say, this is a premium craft, blah, blah, blah. If they flower it up, spin it so that you're paying for something quite extraordinary and not many people are going to save or have a chance to do it, you can charge what you like, Ross. Can you? Because if they're going to sell it, and they can pick it up however the hell they like. Would you consider buying said beer if it were that price? Or would you say, no beer is worth $14 for a small can of the bloody thing? I wouldn't. I'd be tempted to say, this must be extraordinary.
I would have said to try it once, because I'd heard, and it's, you know, someone that I listen to, you know, podcasty things online, and it's their beer of choice. And, you know, for a special occasion, they go and they get this. But I just did a quick search. Why is the Superbock so expensive? And the The first link I found just basically said, it makes no sense, it tastes like donkey pee. So I thought, I don't understand anything anymore. Okay, so now I don't want to try it anymore. If there's one, even one review in 100 that says, nah, it tastes like donkey pee, I'm out. I'm sort of, maybe I'll stick to the Doppelbock from Hilltop Hops here out of Brooklyn, Nova Scotia. Thank you very much.
What if you're partial to donkey pee?
If you are partial to donkey pee, then there's like a 50-50 chance that craft beer is for you.
Craft beers, though, this is the thing. It's craft beer is one of those things that we are quite funny about. We are quite snobby about. It's not mass-produced. It's a different flavor. Just bear with me a second.
Okay.
I went to the cheese shop in Wolfville, in that little craft cheese store.
I remember this story.
Right. I went there. No, but it did not occur to me to check the prices because there were no prices. I didn't see any prices. And as I've been warned in the past, if you walk into a boutique and there's a shirt there you rather like that's hanging on a hanger and it doesn't have a price, it's probably out of my range.
Yeah.
So don't even think about walking into it and saying, I'll have that shirt. And then when they get to the cashier and they say, that's $255, sir, I go, ooh. Anyway, if something is bespoke and it's made like to a certain level and or just for you or made very small amounts of it, etc., it tends to cost more, does it not? For them to produce it and then to get their money back on it, they have to kind of up the price of it a little bit to make it. And if they sell it correctly, if marketing is what it's all about, no one could. When I paid for those 300 gram slices of cheese, by the way, it was almost $50. I almost puked.
Yes.
There in the
so are you saying that those pieces, tiny pieces of cheese and this Portuguese Super Bock brand are tailor made for one specific person and their
Let me take the word bespoke back for me particularly, but I'm saying they are made with higher quality ingredients. They are they're better than your generic store-bought cheddar or generic store-bought beers, even craft brews. And marketing, like I said, is everything. So therefore, if they sell it to the right person that's going to walk in there, you and I are going to walk into where was this again? This place? Where was it?
The Superbock or the cheese shop? I forget that we're...
The beer. The beer you're talking about. The $14 beer. Where was that again?
It's just like a Portuguese import beer at the Ontario Liquor Boutique.
Right, well, there you go. You're aiming at a certain...
There you go. That's... to keep that,
what I'm saying
I rest
is...
my case. Portuguese import.
Bear with me. Bear with me. You, Ross, and I are not going to walk into said Portuguese liquor emporium.
It's not.
And
it's
say,
just the it's the Ontarian version of the NSLC. It's like you going into the NSLC and saying, "I will have the Holstein Bock from Germany." So this person, you go into the Ontario one and you say, "Oh, you've got the Super Bock from Portugal. I'll have that," and he. This guy who has recently retired from his job from the posh cheese shop in Wolfville says, well, that'll be $14.30, sir.
Well, there you go.
Stop saying there you go. Stop resting your case on this as though it's an actual
You
conclusion.
And I are not going to walk into there with our six whole cardboard cutout thing. Well, we're going to try a bit. I'm going to try that. But there are certain clientele that will. And if they can move a few of these off the shelf at $14, they'll be like, That's fine.
I can't tell if you're telling people have higher tastes or if they're just dumber consumers in Ontario.
More gullible. More
because
gullible.
We gullible. Go into the NSLC and I go over to the tiny little craft beer, for instance. Here's the Nova Scotia craft beers. And they're going, that one's $6. Okay, that one's $5.80. All right. You know, $6 a can, $6.20. Okay. But they're all relatively in a range. Like, you're not going to see a $14 can of beer there. Because if you did, the parade of dudes going into the walk-in freezer for their cases of Coors keep coming out. And they're like, if you're lucky, you'll get a stink eye thrown at the craft beer fridge saying, $6 a can, no one's got time enough for that kind of money. I don't even know if that sentence makes sense, but that's the vibe that you get off of it. It's just, oh, that's way too expensive. So is it just kind of that oh, I ate a kind of shark flesh that had to be buried on the beach for 3 weeks, and then I tried, and it was like caviar didn't make sense to anybody. Beauty is 100% in the eye of the beholder, and tastes are exactly the same way. Where if the right person says that particular ass tasting squid pucker is exotic and you must try it, and someone will say, ooh. And the moment someone says, ooh, in that foppish way, all of a sudden everyone says, quick, start charging $800 a pucker for your ass-tasting squid puckers. Here they come. Here come the richies. And it's once you realize, you are right, that once you realize someone is willing to pay for it, that's how much it costs. I didn't realize this was going on. Yeah, lobster's the exact same way. Diamonds is the stupidest example of this. They were glass that people threw away until someone said, no, put it on your ring, and then it's an engagement ring, and it's the only one that you can give to people.
Lobsters are bottom feeders. Commoners used to eat them because they were just crustaceans that walked and hoovered up all the shit that everything else fell to the bottom of the
sea.
It's
not that they stopped doing that, but yeah.
They still did it. They still do it. But marketing is what it's all about. If you can put this article into a different category and say, this is our flagship beer.
Mm.
It's the best of its type. It's been digested
by a purebred Siamese cat and then weed out the other end, and we pureed it and filtered it again twice. What was that coffee bean that was like that? It was the coffee that you had to eat once the bean had been digested by a cat or something.
Yeah,
people
that sounds a bit
are nuts. People are absolutely insane.
I want to find out, in fact, on that note, and talking of cheese, I would like to find out how much that cheese is in Sardinia. Have you heard of this incredible cheese?
Is that the one that the maggots make?
Absolutely. Yeah,
Why do we like gross stuff? I didn't know the Sardinia part.
I think it's Sardinia. It's certainly Italy. I think it's Sardinia. And they introduce the maggot larvae into the cheese to once it's ripe, or maybe, I don't know, once it's made. And these maggots then eat the cheese from inside and vomit and poo it all out onto slurry pulp. And then it's considered a real delicacy. I believe it's on Sardinia. I don't know how much it costs for, let's say, 100 grams, because I want to run down Wolf Hill High Street and order a bucket load.
Oh,
how much does it cost?
I have it per pound. Does that help?
I mean, there's 1,000 grams, of course, is 2 pounds. Oh, so by the pound, 500 grams of it. 500 grams of it. Would it say how much that was?
Well, it says it's $100 a pound.
Oh, so $50 for half a pound, which is 250 grams. Holy moly, that's even more expensive than the cheese shop. Does it come with the maggot still eating it? Because if so...
I think so. It is maggot-infested sheep milk cheese. It's called Kasu Marzu, if you were looking for this kind of thing.
There we go. There you go. There you have it.
Wait, what?
And on that bombshell, I'm going to head out. I'm out of here, man. I've still got my fingers left.
Yeah, we have. We've got our fingers. I think I'm going to finish my finger of goat.
I'm not going to finish it. I'm going to take it in with me before it gets too dark. This one is...
still good. That's still...
The
that's,
first one is so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Honey. Very honey. It's very, very prevalent honey flavor.
So good. And caramel.
But
and
the Doppler. But the Doppler is so... Oh,
I love them both. Oh. I love them both. I want, for different reasons. It's so wonderful.
I want a bock from every Nova Scotia brewery. I want 65 bocks, and I want them now.
Should we do one? Should we do a homebrew and just try our own?
Yeah. I mean, can you... Yep, that'll be our next one. We need to make the first one. second one. We'll call
I'm
it a bock,
see you
and later. We'll call it Bock to the Future. Bock in time. Out of... What's the Huey Lewis in the News song? I'm stuck singing the opening credits to Groundhog Day. That's not right. What's the Huey Lewis song that was in Back to the Future, the very opening credit song? I can't remember. If you're not with us on the fact that Bock is the best style of beer, then I can't help you whatsoever. You got to get into these and you got to try both of these. Get to Hilltop Hops and Lund's Mill out here in the Valley. Sorry that it's a bit Valley-centric. I realize that we're a bit Valley-centric, but I did go to Halifax and I made some contacts. So we're going to try to get back into being in the city a little bit more. Long story short, I am frightened of the city. But I want to thank Ian for being here tonight, joining me with these beers as always. And you can find our podcast and all the podcasty places. You can... hop on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. That's where we're live every week at this time. You can subscribe to it and find some of the other videos that I'm popping up. So all the archives are going there as well. And then I think I've also got some Instagrammy things and some TikTok things. Just look up drinknsdry on most of the socials and you'll find us in all the places that we're here live on the YouTube channel every week, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. So see you again then. Thank you very much for joining us and good night.